Ramsey TV.
Hello, everyone. This is Martin Sender, and boy, I really recorded an explosive show yesterday. We had over 100 comments, and I'm going to read 4 of those comments today. Let's see if I can get all 4 of them in. If not, I will continue tomorrow. I appreciate your comments. Your comments are always instructive. I do not delete comments. And this is a big room, this channel. It's a big room for members of the body of Christ to come together. And we sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron. Now, all these comments have value. I'm going to read a comment from Greg Smith, from Dennis Holm, and poor Dennis. I don't know this man. I don't think so. And he innocently walked into like me being in not a great state of mind, but he wrote what I considered some philosophy, and I kind of reacted a bit strongly. And what a good sport he was. Very gracious. And I was going back to like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I just kind of freaked out because philosophy just irritates me, you know. So I went back to try to soften it. But he had already read it and commented. So it gave us an opportunity to open some dialogue, which I think is good. And then, of course, Mark Haukes, the pirate himself, answered. And I told you he was one of the gracious guys you'll ever know. And I think I've told you that one of my purposes in the body of Christ that I serve is I give other people an opportunity to show grace. I'm your big opportunity. So, yeah, when I step over the line, see, I'm always on the line. I always try to be on the line because I want to live everything to the fullest. I want to believe everything to the fullest. I want to proclaim the word to the fullest. And when you're on the line and when you want to be on the line, you sometimes step over the line. I don't think I did that, though. I can come close, very, very close. But when I do, and you're gracious to me, then, well, it just binds us closer together. God takes note of your grace. And again, I give you the opportunity. So, yes, the pirate, again, was very gracious. He said next week maybe he's going to comment more extensively on what I said. So we're good. I told you we would be. I told you the pirate can handle it, and I can handle whatever he has to say. And so the first comment I'm going to read is from Greg Smith, and this is the most disturbing one, even though I agree with it. Greg brought out something that I think is true, and I didn't even go here in my mind. I really didn't. Surprisingly, I did not go here in my mind, but when Greg wrote this, I thought, yep, he's right. He's right. This is what's happening. So now I'm going to go even closer to the line now. After having apologized for tiptoeing on the line, I guess I didn't really apologize. I just told you that's how it is. Now I'm going to probably step over it. Martin, you mentioned motive for attacking the preexistence of Christ. Yes, true. I've been after the motive. The source of this error is coming directly from the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. These wicked celestial beings are in denial that a divine celestial being can come in the fashion of a human being and die. Deep down, they must respect Christ Jesus' sacrifice in all its breathtaking power. Colossians 1:20 teaches us that Christ Jesus is making peace through the blood of his cross, whether those on the earth or those in the heavens. Yes, those on the earth or those in the heavens will be conciliated to God through the blood of Christ. These wicked celestials fear they can also be made to die. This is interesting. I never thought of this. Scripture is for the celestials as well. That is true. They will be reconciled as well, even if they now reject such a certainty to occur. Christ's preexistence and the blood of his cross is for all. Christ Jesus is God's creative original, Revelation 3, verse 14. The Word of God through whom the world came into being, John 1:10. And the celestials know our Lord preexisted in the form of God, Philippians 2:6-7. Yes, I believe they do know. The celestials know, of course they do. Because they were there when the sons of God shouted for joy at the founding of earth. And here is another remarkable testimony against the Tory position. And I told Mark Haugus I wouldn't call him a Tory again. I got a different name. It's just inconvenient to say people who believe in the non-preexistence of Christ. When the sons of God shouted for joy at the foundation of the earth. We read that in Job. God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the sons of God shouted for joy. So which sons of God were present at the founding of the earth? Well, apparently, according to the Tories, the Son of God was not there. The Son of God, are we to believe? And this is, I think, a very strong, persuasive point. I didn't mention this yesterday. I mentioned it before, but I didn't mention it yesterday. I'm going to mention it here again. The sons of God were present. The Son of God wasn't present. Are you kidding me? Think on that. Certainly the celestials know that our Lord preexisted because he was one of the sons of God. He was the Son of God who realized that with the founding of the earth, a remarkable stage was being set for a showdown between good and evil that was only going to happen on this planet. And Satan is a liar, the father of lies. Ephesians 6, referenced by our brother Greg here, says that there are spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. I don't want to go to the passage now for the sake of time. And that we are to protect ourselves with the full armor of God. That's the passage. That's the context. So that we might withstand the stratagems of the adversary. Inherent in the word stratagem is trick. Satan is a liar. And Satan is lying about the preexistence of Christ through these men. Having said that, none of us, not one of us, not me, not them, not anybody in the body of Christ is immune to the possibility of speaking error, of being really impelled by satanic forces to lie. We are all susceptible to it. So I am not here, pointing fingers at these gentlemen as if they and they alone or have temporarily become mouthpieces of the enemy. And I'll have you know and remind you that sincerity has nothing to do with it at all. To show you how easily someone can become a mouthpiece for Satan, we only have to look at Peter trying to really, in his having what he thought was Jesus' best interest in view. Peter said to him, upon Jesus prophesying of his death, Peter said, oh Lord, no, we're not going to have this for you. No. Like, that's a bad idea. That's not going to happen. We'll prevent it. And what did Jesus say to him? We all know. Get behind me, Satan. Called him Satan. Because behind Peter's well-meaning statement was Satan. So Peter was as sincere as can be, as unconscious as can be of what was impelling him to say that or who was impelling him to say that. It was the adversary. Because without the cross, Christ has no victory and Satan's victory is assured. Satan would have Christ avoid the cross. And Peter, at that time, was speaking the desires of Satan. Satan wasn't his father, not like the Pharisees, not at all, but his mouth was temporarily hijacked, Could happen to anybody. Could happen to me. Could happen to A. Enoch. He's not alive anymore, but Enoch was aware. The man who translated the Concordant Literal New Testament. He was aware that we're all susceptible to error and we have to take care of each other. We have to watch out for each other. And we have to follow rules of scriptural interpretation and laws of language. We have to, because if we don't, we'll go down crazy rabbit holes like this. This is why I'm always talking about laws of language and rules of scriptural interpretation. This is not to say, I know it sounds like it. Well, what about the Spirit? Doesn't the Spirit of God make these things alive to us? Yes, it's the Spirit of God causing us to understand laws of language and rules of scriptural interpretation. Otherwise, everyone becomes a law unto themselves. Everyone becomes a revelation unto themselves. We need a standard by which to judge information. That standard is a scripture. And it pleased God to communicate to humanity via the written word. And since the written word is his chosen medium for communication, the man or woman, who, or child for that matter, who knows the most about the written word will win. Will get revelation, aided by the Spirit of God, of course. And I've said this again and again, our minds are renewed, changed by the renewing of our minds, not the removal of them. So we have the same brains that we had before. Now they're just spirit-inspired brains. But we know the same things. We know what a verb is. We know what a noun is. We know what a participle is. Well, no, I really don't know what a participle is. But we know that there's a big difference between the word in and the word to when speaking of the faith of Christ. We know of the importance of the translation of eon. We know how to compare words in the scriptures. We know how to look up the original word, either in Hebrew or Greek, and look at different contexts. These are all important considerations, without which you don't get truth. And so this is what, as mechanical as this sounds, but it's not. It's organic. It's beautiful. It's God-inspired. This is what keeps us from unwittingly becoming mouthpieces for God's enemy. And I'm pointing out that these men have become mouthpieces of God's enemy. They have. This is true. I didn't even want to say that. It never really entered my mind, but I knew on some level it was true, but who wants to say that? They could say that of me. No, Martin, you're the one mouthing Satan's words. You're the one. Oh, really? By what? There comes a point where it becomes obvious to the majority that people are twisting plain scripture verses for the sake of a predisposition. It becomes obvious to the majority. And this is obvious to the majority. And we're not talking about the majority of Christians, the majority of people who shop at Winn-Dixie, the majority of people who, the parents of the kids at your school. No, we're talking about hardened scripture people who are mature saints who have been practiced in the word for decades. These are the judges. There may be a rogue person among them who really doesn't know anything and just is here for the sport, but the majority of you, the overwhelming majority of you, are students, and the overwhelming majority of you can see this error to say that Christ did not pre-exist. And we, because we love our brothers, we want to correct them. It might not work. They may be hardened in it, and it may be their lot to keep teaching it, and God will correct it at the dais of Christ. And we probably won't be able to avoid going, I told you so. Tried to help you out of this. Tried to not let this happen. Conflagration at the dais. Film at 11. So, yes, this is, it's obviously wrong, and it is, that's, you know, I still like to look at the motive, like what's the more immediate motive, but we really don't need to look past this. Really, the source of this error is coming directly from the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. Well, of course, they would love to lie about the great glories of Christ, all came into existence through him. They want to belittle him. They want to demean him. These are what the spiritual forces of wickedness want to do. They want to belittle Christ. They want to demean Christ. Why would they want to elevate him? Our position elevates him. Like I was saying yesterday, all came into existence through him. Not one thing came into existence apart from him. He is before all. All has its cohesion in him. He is firstborn among many brethren, and he's also firstborn of all creation, and also firstborn from among the dead. And he was the God that they spoke to in the Old Testament. That's what John 1:1 is saying. That's just, I don't want to get all into it again. I've done it many times, and it's coming up again, but it's good because we need to understand that the glories of Christ are at stake. And who else wants to demolish those and cut Christ down than the adversary? That's what Satan wants to do. So I agree with Greg. This is an attack from spiritual forces using the nicest guys you want to meet. The pirate. It's unwitting. He's the most sincere person, but so is Peter when he said, "Oh, this cross is not for you. We can get you out of this. We're not going to let this happen. Don't worry. Get behind me, Satan." Woo. Peter probably was like, "Excuse me?" Well, Greg is showing some x-ray vision here. Like I say, I am also susceptible. I'm not sitting here as the judge of who's spewing out satanic lies. I can tell when they are, and these guys definitely are. They don't think they are, but the Christians don't think they're spewing out satanic lies when they talk about eternal torment. They don't. They're sincere. You got these nice little old ladies in Christian church. "Oh, yes, well, God's going to torture his enemies for eternity." It's nice little old ladies, sincere as can be. What do you think about that, young man? Get behind me, Satan. Would I say that to a nice little old lady? Let me think. Yes, I would. Yeah, I think I would. I don't know if I would. Anyway, and if somebody said it to me, what would I do? Great question. If somebody said it to me, I would become introspective. I wouldn't become angry. I wouldn't become mad. I would say, "Well, let's put it to the test." That's what I would do. I'm positive. Martin, you're speaking the words of Satan. The spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials are influencing you. And indeed, in Ephesians 6, not indeed, I'm speaking that way, but in Ephesians 6, Paul says, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against these spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials." We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So there's influences behind that. And if we love our brothers, we'll correct them. And I've been trying like hell to do that. And on some topics, it's not that critical. On some topics, it could go either way. So certainly we're not going to speak of this unless the topic involves the very nature, the very being, the very purpose, the very resume of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This touches huge things that Satan would want to chop to pieces. Oh, yeah. So, no, if somebody said, "Martin, you're the one speaking the words of Satan, huh? Let's put it to the test." And then what would I do? Go to the scripture verses. I would show where, like I did yesterday, that Mark was violating a scriptural rule of interpretation by trying to interpret plain scripture verses, to interpret them, to color them by means of a verse that maybe is a little less obvious. So yeah, I would become introspective. Let's look at the word. What saith the word of God? And along that line, I'm going to have to save Dennis home for tomorrow. I'm going to have to save Chris Miller. Boy, Chris Miller, really, I'm tempted to do it now. All right. And then we can save Dennis home, and that'll be good because that'll bring us to the topic of philosophy. Yes, I'm definitely going to save Dennis. Dennis, I thank you for writing, and I apologize that I kind of came after you there a little bit, but I'm not sorry, really. I'm sorry about one thing I said, and I was going to go edit that, but then you had already checked in, and you called me Oh, you said that I can see that humility is not your strong suit. Oh, it's a very gentle way of saying I'm an arrogant prick. I appreciate that, really. Yeah, I do. That was nice, actually. So, am I an arrogant prick? Am I not humble? Do I claim to know things? We'll find out tomorrow. Yes, we will find out tomorrow, along with a comment from Stephen Janowski. He was quoting my son Gabe. Where do you hear what Gabe said? Woo! That's good. But let's go ahead, because this has to do with a pirate not wanting to be called a Tory. And from now on, I'm going to call him the nothing came into being through Christ guy. The man who believes that nothing came into being through Christ. Is that, I'd rather be called a Tory than the guy who believes that nothing came into existence through Christ. Or how about this? The guy who doesn't believe Jesus Christ descended from heaven. That guy. Yeah, I'll do that if Mark doesn't like Tory. Because somebody took me to task. Say, the pirate told you he doesn't like to be called a Tory. Yeah, what do you do? I did change the word, the T. I changed it from Trinity to tradition. A tradition over reactor. I thought that was being considerate. But if he just doesn't like Tory at all, then I'll just call him the man who believes nothing came into being through Christ. The man who does not believe that Jesus Christ descended from heaven. So we'll end this show today with Chris Miller, whose wife is Maddie. They lived down here for a while. Great brother and sister. Martin, my wife and I are sympathetic to the situation that the Tories need another name. See, he said about that just like me. Maddie came up with Dolers instead of Tories, Trinity overreactors, or in the case of Mark Halquist, a tradition overreactor. But Maddie came up with Dolers, Dolers. What's the acronym there? Demoting our Lord every day. Demoting our Lord every day. Chris goes on, let me elaborate with the definition of dole. Dole, noun, archaic, grief, sorrow. From Old French, D-O-L, is from Latin, dolor, dolor. Chris elaborates, whenever the teaching of Christ's non-preexistence is taught, it will bring a measure of grief and sorrow. I agree with this. It grieves the body of Christ to see our brothers duped like this, along with those who believe them. Yes, it does. Many of you express that. You sorrow. You can't believe it. It's like, why? How? It sorrows us and our Lord that his plain words concerning his identity and pre-existent glory are not believed. That is exactly the way I see it also, Chris. His plain words. That's why I invented that t-shirt. No, he didn't. No, he's not. No, he wasn't. His plain words concerning his identity and pre-existent glory are not believed. Yet Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, love is believing all. He goes on, Mark the pirate is a smart and loving man. Being around him for a short time, one knows this. This teaching is unworthy of our brother's character. Yes, it is. That's why it blows my mind. It's unworthy of his character. May Mark and these other brothers trash this fruity teaching. It's rotten. P.S. God gave this descriptive name to Maddie. I only added the everyday. We love you, Martin. We know you will keep up the good work. Thank you. I appreciate that. I will keep up the good work. And I am always subject to questioning, to probing, to poking. Just be careful where you poke. But of course, if you think I am really off on something, you got to tell me. I don't want to see my belief burned up at the dais of Christ. And I'm trying to help these gentlemen avoid that. We're all saved. We're all in the body of Christ, but we don't want our works and our beliefs burned up. But anyone who holds this Christ-degrading, Christ-belittling belief that flies in the face of two dozen obvious scripture verses that are so easy to understand that a five-year-old can understand them. Anyone who goes against that is being acted upon by a supernatural force. And it's not a force that wants to promote Christ. It's a force that wants to demote him.